This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 123 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you on board. Phone number 343-0106. 343-0106. Tell you what, too. I'll do this before I finish up at 2. I got a family four-pack of tickets to the Festival of Flowers. March 21st through the 24th. All right, so and as we talked about yesterday, Dutch Gardens, that's the theme, Dutch Gardens, and so much to see out there, and that is going to be out at, of course, as always, Providence Hospital campus, there behind the hospital. Starts on Thursday. They open the doors, gates, fold the tent flap back, whatever the euphemism is, at 9 o'clock on Thursday, and it runs through Sunday. Sometime between now and 2, we'll hook you up with tickets. Want to go to the phones? A conversation we're having earlier before we went to the presser had brought up a couple different things, and good to have Mobile City Councilman John Williams joining us now to talk more about it. Hey, John.
Good afternoon, Sean. Good to be with you.
Hey, good to have you on as well. Before I want to get into a little bit of the gun talk that had come up in last hour's show, but I got to ask you, since I got you on now, wasn't there a meeting this morning before the regular council meeting, something to do with the trees and what would be removed and the appeal? Can you walk us through what was presented and what y'all decided?
It was part of our formal meeting. I think that's important to say, because it means it was an open public meeting where people had notification that we were going to talk about this. But anyway, there was a consortium of neighborhood organizations that came to us with an appeal. They presented that appeal today, or it was presented a week and a half ago. They came in and publicly spoke on that appeal. It was determined that their objective by the appeal had been met. They received the information that they didn't have prior to the appeal. They reduced the number of trees that were going to be removed. And so we felt like there was no reason for this decision to go back to the Planning Commission, and we denied their appeal.
Okay, so, and what this is based around, and how, correct me if I'm wrong, but to be able to get the money through the Tiger Grant that the city had gotten, several years ago or a couple years ago, to be able to implement that now, part of it requires sidewalk, bike lanes, those kind of things, required some of these trees to come out.
That's correct. As it turns out, all of them didn't need to come out. Some of them that had been planned to be taken out won't come out. Some that have long been on the books to be removed will still be removed because of their condition. But this really got down to, and I want people to understand that the decision of the tree commission was a just decision. It's not the city council's decision to hear the case all over again and decide whether or not the tree plan is a good plan.
Right.
Our decision today, as I saw it, and I always stand on this, is did the Planning Commission go through the correct procedure? Did they follow their normal decision-making process to render a decision? Was it arbitrary and capricious? And that answer was no.
Okay. All right. So that explains, explains the question that was in front of y'all. And then, is there anything else in between now and there, or will those projects get going?
I think the administration, I applaud them, has agreed to continue to work with this group, the same group that had the number of trees reduced, to see where they might narrow the bike lane and save a tree, take out maybe a single or maybe two parking spaces on Broad Street and save a tree, and continue to work with them. We're gonna open up the communication. This was a admitted shortcoming of the administration, and they have worked very hard with everyone that's interested to get this right. And I think they have. I applaud the mayor.
Very good. Also, last hour, I had a call. A subject's come up quite a few times on the show, but we're talking about this push, and I think everybody can get behind pushing people to make sure their vehicles are locked. Trying to urge them, tell them why it's important to have their vehicles locked if they have that gun in there, let alone have them locked all the time, but if that gun's in there. And had a question about, these people, are they making claims on their, homeowner's insurance or something like that? And you wanted to comment some on this.
I do, Sean. And first of all, it's funny that my son came to me this morning and he said that they're talking about it in their high school. How could it be that someone is allowed to own a gun who has proven they can't control that gun? And even worse yet, they're allowed to have another gun after their gun irresponsibly fell into the hands of someone who used it to kill anybody.
But I would argue that it is a right. It is a right given to us by the Second Amendment to own that firearm. Oh,
absolutely, and I am not at all. I would never propose gun control. But I will tell you this, that I believe firmly that our forefathers intended for us to be responsible with that right.
I would agree.
And therefore,
but what does that mean? Does it?
I don't think we ought to criminalize.
Okay, that's what I'm about to ask. Do you support?
Not for a second, because I agree with you. I agree with Jim Barber. I agree with the sheriff that if you make it a crime to lose your weapon or lose your gun, I'm an Army guy. Okay,
right.
Your handgun, then they won't report them.
Yeah.
We want them to report. It should be maybe a little more punitive if you don't report. Does that make sense?
No, it does. I think, just talking to the folks in law enforcement, I want to encourage people to report because I had Sheriff Cochran sit right here and say, man, we use this so many times to solve crimes. He said, getting that report from somebody, whether the door was unlocked or it was broken into, when they report that gun stolen, it helps us solve crimes.
There's a legitimate argument out there that says, that after a couple of, if you lose two guns, well, I'm not sure I want to go to two guns, but if you lose a handgun, if you're irresponsible, then you ought to have to go through a more detailed process to buy another gun. I think we ought to throw it around.
Okay, I think it bears out some further discussion. I've got to go to the hard break. Can you hold on through the news break? Okay, we'll come back. Mobile City Councilman John Williams on with us because I would ask, could that stand a test if you put something like that in effect? Because you're talking about somebody's Second Amendment rights. And while we do limit or remove people's Second Amendment rights for some things in our society, it's a fairly narrow list, isn't it? All right, coming right back, and we'll get your calls as well. 343-0106 works for the text line. Go to the news right now.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad you're along. Text line, phone line open at 343-0106. Hey, speaking of the phone line, do this. Got that number? Went ahead and put it in. 343-0106. Be caller number 6 right now. And I have a family 4-pack of tickets for the Festival of Flowers. Kicks off Thursday out at Providence Hospital. This is well over a $50 value. Family 4-pack of tickets to the Festival of Flowers. Caller number 6. The tickets are yours and good luck. Continue our conversation with Mobile City Councilman John Williams. Talking about a couple different items, but we're talking about what has been, by all estimations, and most importantly, law enforcement estimations, one of the big issues facing our city, and that is guns stolen out of vehicles, stolen elsewhere, that are being used in crimes. Is that fair to say, John?
I think that's an absolutely fair comment. When 1,200 guns have been stolen out of cars, and 800 is my number, are unlocked cars.
So, I think the best way to do it is reminding people to check, right? To remind people this is what we need to do to try to prevent crime in our community. The gun that's stolen from you today could be used in a crime against some other good person tomorrow. But you also agree with me, you don't want to criminalize having your gun stolen.
I don't want to criminalize, and I don't want gun control. I don't think there is any level of government that can tell me how I personally can carry my handgun that's best for me and my situation. If you tell me to put the you know, that same son this morning, I looked at him and I said, tell your friend that, you know, where I stand. And I said, you can't tell someone that they have to put the gun in the back and the bullets in your pocket and the receiver in the glove compartment and all it. Nothing works. You have to simply be responsible with that weapon. I don't take mine many places because I go so many places that I shouldn't have a gun on. That's my thought.
Oh, you mean Government Plaza?
That'd be a dangerous place to have a gun.
Well, no, but in that place, that's a place that if I did or did not have a concealed carry permit, I know that when I go to somewhere with a metal detector, at that point, that I do not have my, if I did have a gun, maybe not on me, I wouldn't bring it there because I got a clear security there. And at that point, the responsibility for my security goes to those officers with guns on their belt. Right? I mean, that's true anywhere there's a metal detector.
That's absolutely true.
But outside of that, you know, my concealed carry permit, with very few exceptions, is it gives me green light to go, you know, wherever I go.
Yeah.
A concealed weapon can, too.
I'm also a firm believer, as I know that some people speak on your radio station, say that, you know, everybody doesn't have a right to know whether or not I have a gun on me. And that includes government. That includes all levels and all departments of government. And unless they have a warrant for my arrest and or a search warrant, and then that question very specifically is about a handgun, that's just where I stand. I'm no lawyer, but you know this idea of responsible ownership also comes with that strong Second Amendment right.
All right, I'm with you. I want to, like this text here, texter says, yes, there's a responsibility to keep your vehicle and weapons secured, but more efforts should be made in crime prevention instead of blaming those who had their property stolen.
But Sean, I've got a little something for the texter. The easier we make it for loot to be taken from our vehicles and our premises, whether or not our house or our business, the easier we make it for them, the less that we take responsibility and the more we say the government ought to do that, then the easier it is for criminals. We're creating an environment that is beneficial to the criminal.
So how do we tackle this? Because it is a it's an issue. I'm not one of hyperbole trying to make something mountains out of molehills on this. It is an issue for our city. I mean, week I'm reporting on
Sean,
shootings.
Me,
what about this last me, weekend, you know?
Let me kind of try to make a picture out of this. And maybe it's not just for guns, but these hardened criminals that people are talking about are going around and they're not busting windshields. They're simply raising the lever on a door. If it's open, they help themselves. If it's not, they move on to the next car. We as Americans, as free citizens, have a responsibility to protect our stuff. That's why we have the Second Amendment, to protect ourselves and our families and our things against everyone, including the government.
Well said. All right. So you think right now you're speaking for yourself. Any conversation, any more conversation on the council about trying to that ordinance that had been discussed? Is that not coming back, or is that coming back? What do you think?
I do think that there is going to be a resolution, which is going to ask the state government to give Class 2 municipalities, we're the only one in Alabama, the ability to control guns. Put it in just in layman's terms.
What does that mean?
I never, ever ask our state government to give a municipality gun control. Ever.
I got to stop you for a second. I'm a simple kind of guy. You said it would be an ordinance to control guns, but not gun control. What's the difference?
No, no, no. Realize I just said I will not support that resolution.
Okay, but you think it's coming. That resolution is coming. Okay.
It's going to come back up.
Very good.
It is
going
to come back up. You didn't ask me if I was going to support it.
Right. Okay. You think it is. And so that resolution is going to come back up. You have said here three different times you would not support that.
I absolutely will not support it. And let me read the words real quick to you. And it says that now, therefore, let it be resolved, blah, 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 that our local delegation prepare and support legislation that would permit a Class 2 municipality to adopt reasonable regulations to prevent the theft of firearms from unlocked vehicles, such as mandatory reporting requirements when weapons and stuff, but I can send it to you and you can read
it. Okay. Have you heard from fellow council members how they would vote on this?
I know that Mr. Small is the sponsor, mm-hmm. so I suspect he will support it. I have not specifically talked to anybody else about it.
This would come back up this coming Tuesday, you think, or would you have any idea?
It would go on the April 2nd agenda, I think is what they're proposing. That's the timeline I think that this thing would probably be triggered. But you never know. Sometimes it works slow and sometimes it doesn't. I'll guarantee you this. It will be laid over for at least 1 week by council rule. And everybody that I can tell will know about it, because I just don't think that we ought to be taking on the gun control business.
Very good. Well, got you on the record that you're, I think where you stand on it, I think a lot of people stand on it. I'll continue with this idea of reminding folks to lock the car, pay attention. I think that's a good thing. I don't think any bad can come out of reminding folks to be responsible with that firearm. That doesn't bother me at all. And you're saying you agree with that, but you're not for any kind of amendment that would give the Class 2 municipality rights to regulate guns.
That's right. I don't want a municipality to say how I must carry it, when I can carry it. I have a right to carry it. I'm not against the discussion that says, what do we do if someone proves over and over and over again that they're irresponsible with gun ownership?
But that has to. That's an arbitrary number, or situations that has to be set, right? There has to be some line set.
Everything's arbitrary at some point. Yes,
that's true.
I agree with that.
All right. As always, I appreciate your time. Thanks for being on with us.
Hey, Sean. Hey, I love your show, and I know a lot of people out there count on you to give them the good information, and I'm glad to participate. Thank you.
Thank you. Mobile City Councilman John Williams joining us, and we'll come right back. Get to your phone calls at 343-0106. And Heather, good work. Picked up that family four-pack of tickets to the Festival of Flowers. Starts on Thursday.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Dalton, do you think we should just hold back on that maybe till tomorrow or something, or spill the beans today? People still who didn't call 343-0106 did not find out what the secret of Dalton's teeth is. That's pretty, it's impressive, man. It's impressive. The most impressive thing I think I've heard today. Also, I want to just double down too, because I know how talk radio works, and I want to make sure everybody heard what was said by City Councilman John Williams, that he would not support a municipality having the right to regulate guns, even though that's essentially what that bill brought up by Councilman, what was it? It's not a bill, obviously. It's a ordinance idea that would have to go to the state to get blessing to limit municipality, or to give municipalities the right to limit firearms. And so he is not for that. They will talk about this coming up next month, so be watching that. Also, watch in Montgomery, where the discussion now is not gas tax, but the discussion now is, among other bills, as they gavel back in at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Jim McClendon dropped it. Senator McClendon dropped his lottery bill today, and that's exactly what Tim in Baldwin County wants to talk about. Hey, man.
Hey, how you doing, John?
I'm good. How are you?
Joe, I appreciate that last guy's call. That was pretty interesting. The state of Alabama has waited too late. We've missed the boat on the lottery.
Okay. I think I agree.
Millions and millions of dollars to start a lottery. It'd take us many, many years just to pay that debt off. Plus, we have all the states around us with the lotteries, and there's just not enough people living in the state of Alabama to really support it. We'd need people coming from other states, which they're not going to do, because they all have lotteries. Now, the logical thing to do would be allow casinos where other people would come in and put the money up to the casinos. I'm not talking about the Indian casinos, because state doesn't make any money off that, do they?
No.
They don't get any tax revenue? All
negative.
Right, that's there it is. We need casinos. We need real casinos.
So Class 3 gaming. So the referendum, like we talked about last hour, should be on all gaming. Like cards and dice and whatever else makes up gambling.
Well, yeah, you know, you got it to dog tracks,
yeah.
Some of them that have a few card games. But that was my comment on that, and I'd just like to know the views. I mean, I think we've missed the boat.
I do. But how about this, Tim? I got an idea.
Yeah.
And I brought this up last year, and I have said this to many of the folks in state government. They go, oh, okay, Sean. I said, why don't y'all, if you think the revenue's out there, right, and they have said as much as $600 million a year in revenue to the state, I'm not just being jerky guy that doesn't like anything. I don't think they will make that much revenue. I'd be very surprised. But if you think the revenue's out there, how could you, as a person in state government who wants to bring that revenue in, get it without doing exactly what you said, putting all the upfront money in, growing the bureaucracy and all that? And my idea has been the referendum would be to legalize state lotteries, plural. In other words, private entities could come in. They could come in the state of Alabama, or they could be people here in Alabama that would bond a certain amount of money that they would be able to pay off up to, you know, whatever it is. They said this lottery is worth $100 million or $200 million. They're bonded to be able to pay that amount off. They pay some fee to, you know, the state to be a lottery in the state, to be a licensed lottery in the state. And it could be Sean and Tim's lottery or Tim and Sean's lottery. And we put this together. We offer the lottery, and then we pay off the people who win. And the state would take, at the end of the year, would take a percentage as a tax of our net receipts. And therefore, the money up front for the license, a license to run a lottery, they get money there, and they get a percentage of what we ended up making in profit with that lottery. State still gets money. There's no bureaucracy. They haven't grown it. They haven't risked that money. It's all on the private sector.
That sounds like a plan.
So it has no chance.
Well, it sounds like a plan. I mean for the taxpayers to put the money up, that's wrong.
Right, and all we would vote on is...
With it. Now, of course, I don't agree with this new gas tax neither. But
the nice thing here is that it would all be on the good to the state. If the private lotteries didn't make money or didn't do... Well, it's still no money out of the taxpayer pocket. If they did, then there's an extra cut in it for the state. There would be revenue for the state.
I agree. I think that would be great. Yep.
Appreciate the call, man. There's no chance, of course, for this to pass. I'll tell you a couple reasons. Nobody's beak gets moistened on this. Now, when I say that, it's not like the idea that it's everybody's getting brown paper bags, because you can't get brown paper bags anymore. Everybody's getting Walmart plastic bags full of money. Just like over the years, people are like, man, the only reason you have that opinion is they're paying you off. Which at that point, whoever those groups are, please give them my address. I'll take the money. I mean, I won't change my opinion, but I'll take the money. I could use it. It's not the idea that there are some cases of it, but the idea that it's just people handing money over to people in Montgomery to vote a certain way, that's how people wet their beak. That's not exactly right. But it is groups and entities and parts of government that have in their mind, in their estimation, a good argument for why they should have an increased share of revenue coming into the state. Everybody, every department, you would hope that they think they're very important to the state. I get that. Why? I mean, if you work there, you would think, y'all don't realize without our department, this wouldn't happen. I get it. Okay. Problem is here, you have the lottery bill as presented by Senator McClendon. it finally tells something. You remember the Siegelman lottery bill was for education, and you'll watch it around the country. It's for the children. I'm sorry, I have two of those children things, right? And I love my children, and I like your children until they're my responsibility. As long as you're your responsibility, I like your children too. I'm four kids. I'm not anti-child. I think they're pretty awesome. Okay. I want them to get great educations in our state. I would like to continue what we're doing in the pre-K program here and extending it and having the best education that I'd love to be number one in the country. But I'd love to move up the pack, slowly and surely, if not very fast. Okay. Just saying, the problem is the ETF, the Education Trust Fund, is separate from the general fund. Its revenue sources are ones that grow. As property values increase, property tax as a percentages increase. The percentage stays the same, but the percentage of the bigger value increases. In other words, they are growing. And that's good because there's more kids in school and all those things. I get it. But they're growing. Most of the growth tax revenue is tied directly to the Education Trust Fund. No money can move from the ETF, we always talk about that wall, into the general fund. The static or declining revenue sources are what fund the general fund, which, by the way, on top of that, let's put some old crappy paint on that, is 93% earmarked. Okay. But to get a lottery passed, it has nothing to do with the mechanics of what the state needs for revenue. It's all about optics. When they bring up an education lottery, it's because everybody loves the kids. It is a hood ornament. It's a blood over the door on Passover to get something passed. That's why they do it. And finally, during Siegelman's time, it was, and maybe more needed back then for education, but it was 100% education lotteries. And education lotteries have been discussed for decades here in Alabama. Senator McClendon's at least gives a nod to the reality. Senator McClendon's is 50% for schools and, by the way, 50% for the general fund. He'll probably kind of eat his words on that one, say it's for children, it's for schools, and it's for the general fund too. So it's a 50-50 split between the ETF and the general fund. When in reality, it probably needs to be 100% to the general fund. But who wants to get behind a lottery for the general fund? You want to do it for the kids. It's for the kids. So at least there's some movement on reality coming in that bill. But once again, like I said to Tim earlier, I think I agree with him. I mean, the growth in cost, bureaucracy, and all that, wouldn't it just be better to legalize private entities to risk their capital to run lotteries in the state? And then the state could make money on the front end by giving a license, whatever that would cost, to a lottery. And then they pay that up front. And then the state, they could audit it. They'd say, you got to agree to be audited. We will audit your books. And the state gets whatever. It's 3%, it's 4% of profits, whatever the market will bear. And then the state gets the revenue without investing in a lottery, being in the lottery business. They still get the revenue, which, they could do that on the liquor side. But we choose not to. All right, just something to chew on here. That will drop coming up, I guess, at 3 in the state Senate. And it'll be bounced around from committees. And then we'll see what happens in the Senate and then what the House says about it. And we'll be talking Lotto with you tomorrow. By the way, programming note on Thursday, no midday mobile. Auburn Hoops starts at noon, our coverage on Thursday. All right, I am out of here. Speaking of hoops and a big discussion of college basketball, Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. Y'all have a great one.